Thank you, Chris, for sharing. Who could imagine a king? In thinking about that song and our scripture, they go together today. What she's saying fits the scriptures. And I'll be sharing a message about Mary's faith, that her faith was accomplished through God's plan. And I hope and pray that our faith in God will, and God will accomplish your faith in His plan as well. Because, you know, throughout this year, we've been tested. Our faith has been tested in many different ways. And God always has a plan, and He wants us to be on His schedule and His plan. So as we look at this scripture this morning, it's going to be taken from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. So if you want to follow along with me, beginning with verse 26, Luke chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin named Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering, what kind of salutation was this? And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will be or have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative, Elizabeth, has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." That's true, isn't it? Nothing is impossible with God. And in verse 38, "And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel parted from her." Throughout church history, Mary, the mother of Jesus, has not been given her proper name. Many speculations have been given over the years and centuries about her place in history, in the Bible, of being the mother of Jesus. But God chose Mary for a great and significant event in redemption history. And that's why I say redemption history. That means the salvation of the world. It wouldn't happen any other way. It didn't happen that way in the Old Testament with the sin sacrifices that were given by the priests through the temple and the holies of holies. That was temporal. And God had a plan. And God's plan, Mary was a part of God's plan. And faith involved in Mary's life, what are part of that plan. And the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ was a part of God's plan. So in spite of human fears and struggles that we all have, that Mary had, successfully accomplished this special calling of God. Humble Mary, wondrous faith in her God can teach us powerful lessons if we will learn from her as well. So today, in our scriptures, I will attempt to explain why Mary was chosen for this great work. But rather, I will not try to attempt to explain Mary's why she was chosen for this great work, but rather I want to share with you why the incarnation could be experienced through Mary. And I want to draw your attention to the faith of Mary. She had a great, deep faith. Wouldn't you have to have, if you was approached that way, in her particular situation, a young lady, never been with a man, and in her prime of life, God chose her. So it is a faith that brings forth accomplishment of God's plan. And it's a faith that God's faithful are called to experience also, that we are called to experience also. So first of all, let's look at a faith that responds with humbleness. She was a humble person, humble in spirit, contrite spirit. So God again takes an initiative to send Gabriel with this message to Mary. And the angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary in verse 27 and greeted her in verse 28 and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now think about that. The Lord is with you. I am comforted each day, each moment, that the Lord is with me. He is with you. He's with all of us. And what a great comfort that is, knowing that. And Mary then was perplexed. She was caught off guard at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. Wouldn't you? All through the scriptures, I love reading about when Mary or people approach Mary and question her or ask her about Jesus or something. He said, "Well, listen to what he has to say." And then she herself would ponder or wonder at these great statements. And she was wondering, she was perplexed. Now, this salutation, what it was all about. So from the words of Gabriel in verse 30, we learn that Mary's response is one of, the Bible says, fear. Fear. She was somewhat called afraid. It's a clear indication that she doesn't know what Gabriel greeting means. But her faith, you know, it kicked in. She was pondering. While she was pondering, her faith was deep enough that she was willing to respond with faith. So, my question with you this morning, so you would think and ponder yourself or reflect upon our scripture this morning, to what reason would Mary feel perplexed or greatly troubled by the words of the angel that such greeting is not suited to her? She didn't think it was suited for her unworthiness and for her state of being. So it's simply because Mary realized her unworthiness or her low estate. She also realized that she is just a slave maid in verse 48 of God, as you and I are, though she still regarded herself and God chose her. He chose her because of her faith, because of who she is. So the faith that she has in God eventually removed any fear, and because of her humble spirit. Now, how can we apply this to our lives? This attitude is one that all of us should have towards the grace of God. God's grace is always sufficient. His mercy is as well. In Psalms chapter 8, verse 4 says, "What is a man that he take thought of him, and a son of man that you care for him?" That was a thought of David, the psalmist. So we need to, this realization, as we accept the Lord's call in our life as well. See, each one of us have a calling. God approaches us in some way at some point in time in our life when there's something in some way that we can serve him or we can witness for him. We will know by the power of his Holy Spirit. Doesn't send an angel to us. He comes to us directly by the power of the Holy Spirit. He calls upon us and brings attention through our discernment, through the Word of God and through prayer, exactly what that calling in our life is as well. So we need this realization. And so the humble fear of Mary drives her to keep on abiding in the Lord. And this is why. Because verse 28 says, "The Lord is with you." The Lord was with Mary. And I would say that all the time. So every day, the Lord is with us all the time. His presence is with us all the time. This is still true of us in order that the Lord may be with us all the time. We must, you know, have such fear and humility as ourselves as we are always in the presence of God in reverence. So Mary had this realization. She knew it. And God to her was not only a God of justice, but also a God of love. He was showing his love. And he was demonstrating this through her bearing a son, and she was to call his name Jesus. Jesus is love. And that's why her fear does not drive her away from God, but it keeps her near God. So, God chose Mary for one of the most important of obedience he has ever asked of anyone. You think about that he has asked of anyone, the obedience, and it took faith on Mary's part. So if you ever feel that your ability, and I often think about that, and I thought about that when God called me into ministry, my ability, my inadequacy, my unworthiness, we think about that. Our experience, our education makes you and me unlikely candidates for God's service. We often think that, don't we? But God always, whatever he calls, he equips. He prepares the way. So Mary is a good example. And I would say, don't ever limit yourself or God's choice in you. He can use you if you will trust him, just like Mary. There's a second thing I want us to look at this morning concerning Mary's faith. It's a faith that accepts directions from God, are continually seeking God, his instructions. So the heavenly angel, or Gabriel, of glad tidings, reassures Mary with the words, "Fear not, fear not." Now, Gabriel's looking at Mary and say, "Don't fear. I see you're perplexed, but I'm bringing you good news, glad tidings from the Father, the Heavenly Father. And she need not, therefore, be afraid on the account of her humble state and personal unworthiness and regards of her own special object, which she was in favor of God." And the angel goes and tells her that she had been chosen by God to bring forth a son who is called Jesus. And in Hebrew, the word Jesus, it means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Throughout the scripture, salvation is mentioned in order for us to understand that we can be forgiven of our sins. Christ became the atonement for our sin, the sin offering. And Jesus, the Son of God, is clearly described by the angel. So Luke stresses three things here. If you will look with me in these verses here, I see three things that Luke stresses about Jesus right here. First of all, he stresses his position. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. Now, concerning his divine position or his divine nature, he has the human nature, just like you and I, and we're sinful, but Jesus wasn't sinful, but because he chose not to sin, he chose to be obedient to the Heavenly Father in all of his ways. And yet, on the other side, he had his divine nature because he was a son of the Heavenly Father. Now, the second concern concerns his office and his authority. He has all authority on heaven and on earth. And he demonstrated that when he told the disciples that they would receive power from the Holy Spirit and they would go out and witness and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. He commissioned them and gave them the power as well to do, accomplish things, not on their own self, but by the power of the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit. So that was the second thing, his office and his authority. In verses 32 and 33, it says, the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So all the things that fear us or cause fear in us, you know, this is settle our spirits right here. That God gives to him and to us the knowledge and understanding that he is in control of all things within this world today. Everything that we experience, all the things that we hear, all of the things that we hear, all of the things that we see and acknowledge, God is still in control, even though we might have fear in a lot of things that's going on in our lives and our world today. So, the Son of Mary is going to bring forth, or coming forth, is the Messiah, a king. The one promised from the Old Testament and was fulfilled in the New Testament. He is the Son of God. And Mary, as a faithful Jew, knows more about that child in the biblical prophecy because of her faith. And she will be the, and he will be the Savior of all mankind. In Matthew chapter 1, 21 tells us about that. And the third thing about Jesus and his divine nature is that it is tied into verse 35, that the angel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and will give you and overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. See, Mary doesn't ask for a sign to prove the truth of the words. She didn't ask for a sign, but asked for further information. You know, sometimes we don't understand something about the Word of God when we read it and we study it. Do like Mary. Ask. Ask for more information. I'm asking the Lord to give me discernment all the time as I read and I study and I prepare. Lord, how do I explain this if I don't know it myself? Give me the understanding. And as I read and I study, it takes me to more scripture and more references in the Bible. And it all comes together. And it's so unique when you're studying the Word of God and He gives you that clarity. And it's like, that was just for me, for my understanding. And in order for me to understand, then I can pass it on to you for your understanding as well. So according to the original Greek, marriage words do not express doubt, but overwhelmed by the incomprehensible announcement. She merely inquires as the manner in which and that which had been promised will take place, since it can't be naturally take due to her state as a virgin. She wanted to understand. She didn't doubt. She wanted more clarity. She wanted more understanding. And she was given that by the angel. So, Mary's question right here can be compared with Paul saying, "What shall I do, Lord? Or how shall this be, Lord?" In order that our faith in the Lord may grow into maturity, which it needs to each day, in order that we will do exactly what the Lord's will is for our lives, we need to go to Him and ask, "Lord, what is your will? What is my purpose? Increase my faith." Oftentimes the Lord, when a lot of people doubted, the disciples and those in the scriptures would doubt or ask questions. Of course, Lord needs their hearts. He knows our hearts. He knows if we're doubting or if we just want more information. And sometimes the Lord would say, "Oh, ye of little faith." But He didn't say that to Mary, not here, because He knew that she had a heart to know more about her Son, Jesus Christ, that was coming into this world. So the instructions from God necessarily demanded action, and our commitment and dedication to doing what God says to us is very important. Just like in verse 34, "How shall this be?" If we ever have a question, need to know more. How can this be? How does this apply to my life, Lord? And God will surely tell you. It's natural for us, just like it was for Mary. But God is looking for submission, yielding of our lives to the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, a third thing about Mary's faith, it was a faith that totally submits to the will of God. Each day, if we will submit to the will of God when we get up in the morning, God will give you more understanding of your life that day. When we submit, first thing in the morning, He gives us understanding. He gives us clarity of His will and purpose. And in a tender and sensitive manner, right here, the angel declares in this song, this is a song, the fact that the impending pregnancy of a Virgin Mary will be through divine influence, the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come up on her and overshadow her with His power through which she will become pregnant. What a miracle that God did right here. So at this point, the plan of God becomes clear to Mary. And it should become clear to us and help us better understand God's work, God's plan for Mary and her faith. And it should build our faith and enhance our faith as well. Mary now comprehends that as a virgin, unmarried, but blindly engaged to Joseph, she will conceive a son by the Holy Spirit before the marriage. unheard of in that day, unaccepted in that day. But because of God's plan, it was a divine miracle. So the possibility of this event is further justified by the miracle that occurred in the pregnancy of her cousin Elizabeth. In verse 36, the confirmation of the angel said, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible, God, in your life. Whatever God wills that to be. Might not happen the way we want it to, and usually it doesn't, because we don't always know what's best. God knows what's best, what God's plan is. And God's plan worked out perfectly for the life of Mary. Some unknown, some fear and perplexity, but in the end, it all worked out. It all works out for us in the end, when we trust God with our lives. See, Mary surely perceived all, but these obstacles didn't differ from her joyful accepting God to attain motherhood as her role as a mother. So she was willing to submit to God and miraculously conceive the baby Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Now, I am confident you will agree with me that submission is always accomplished with sacrifice. And one of the most important applications for today's lesson is this, I think. As Christmas and as is here, and as we as Christians should be willing to accept God's will for us no matter how costly it is. We might not always understand at the moment, but we should accept God's will for us no matter what cost it is. Because God's reasoning for our lives is to bless us, to help us, to bring us closer to Him, to understand something much greater than this life. And our life should be completely surrounded by the love of God. And it is. So, as we conclude this morning, God's plan for you is unique. He is so personal with each one of us. God's plan for you is different than mine from yours. But it's unique. You think about it. Ponder on it or reflect upon what God has already done in your life and what He's going to do in the future in your life as we submit, as our faith grows in Him. It develops into something so unique and wonderful that it brings glory to God when we accept His will and purpose for our lives. So it's a faith that responds to God's grace, and it's filled and it's with humility, the call in our lives. So it's a faith that looks for more instructions from God. It's a faith that totally submits to the will of God. So think about this morning. Let's follow the example of Mary. And as Chris sung it this morning, it fits right into the scriptures that we follow the example of Mary. Let us learn a lesson from her faith in order that God's plan for us may also be fulfilled. And will you say just as Mary said in verse 38, "Behold, I am the bondslave of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." So whatever God's plan is for you, to build your faith, to increase your faith, to be more dependent upon Him, may our response be back to Him, "Lord, whatever it is, let me do it according to your will. And when we do that, what a blessing we will receive. What a blessing it is to be in the center of God's will. It's that peace that Paul says that surpasses all comprehension. And that's what this season should bring in each and every one of our lives. There's many people that's walking around each day unsure what their purpose, what the will of God is for their life, and many of them don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. What an excellent season this is for you, for me as Christians, to share our faith and to tell people the reason for Christmas. It is the birth of Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. As June was pronounced that he would be coming to be their Messiah. There's many, many names for Jesus Christ, but his name means salvation to each one of us. If anyone's listening today and if anyone's here today doesn't know him personally, you can. The Holy Spirit is at work. He's always at work, preparing our hearts to receive the greatest gift of all for this season. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you this morning for the message that you have laid upon our hearts from your scripture. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is always active, speaking to our lives, working out your will and your purpose. Lord, I'm thankful that we can call upon your holy name and you hear us and you act upon our prayers. And you act upon our prayers for others as well. And I pray, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that people who we pray for salvation, can acknowledge and feel your presence as well. It's a special calling in our lives. First of all, to know you as our Lord and Savior. Then there's other callings in our life to carry out the fulfillment of your will and purpose for our lives in service in some way. There's all kinds of opportunities to serve you. Lord, I pray for each one here today and those listening that they will feel a sense of peace, that they will know, Lord, that you are with them. And nothing is impossible with you. You know our hearts. You know what our relationship is with you. You know what our faith is. And each day our faith can grow deeper in you, just like our love for one another deepens. Whatever the reason is today, Lord, that you may be knocking at our heart's door. Whatever reason, may we open the door of our heart. And the only way we can do that is from the inside. And you tell us in Revelation 3:20, I will come in and I will fellowship with you and you with me. If that's our prayer this morning, Lord, may that be. We praise and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our closing song this morning is Way in a Manger. So let's stand as we sing, and we'll close our service by singing Away in a Manger.
Oh,
remind you about Thursday evening at 5 o'clock. We'll live stream at 4:55 for those that are listening by Facebook. And hopefully you can join us and be here for this enjoyable evening right before Christmas. Be praying about our services and all the things that we talked about this morning, the prayer concerns and praises.
Yes. Praise.
Yes.
Vicky has a birthday today.
Vicky? Oh,
yeah.
Well, happy birthday,
and
Vicky.
And Ava.
Okay. Okay. Well, happy birthday, Vicky. God bless. Any anniversaries?
Danny and Cheryl have one on Christmas Eve.
Yep. All right.
Christmas Eve.
All right. Congratulations. So you'll be celebrating that as well. Yeah. God bless.